You have your Bibles this morning, you can turn again this Sunday to John chapter 16. Just before that, first this, the truth from your church family. Just a reminder, we've committed ourselves to the pursuit, a year-long pursuit, in fact, of truth. From John chapter 18, we've asked the question with Pilate, what is truth? And we're pursuing, we're searching for that answer so that we might know the truth. Ultimately, in the end, it's really just a simple desire to know more and better God's Word. Because God's Word is the truth. So then our series of messages, our year-long series of messages on the truth of Scripture. And you've been invited to join in on the sharing of the truth from God's Word, that truth that you read or maybe even just remembered, that truth that has somehow, some way impacted you. You've been invited to share that with us so that it might do the same for us. Can I add here just quickly, thanks for doing that. Thanks for joining in with us in this. I can't fully describe to you, I mean it sincerely, what it means to me when I get your paper, when I get your text, when I get your email, whatever it happens to be, when I get from you the truth that you've discovered from God's Word, you participating in even that that we've called homework, it blesses my heart. It really does. Then the truth that you share, how powerful. Again, it blesses my heart. Finally, to stand here from Sunday to Sunday and share the truth, not just what I've discovered, what I've sensed from the Lord, but to share from you as well. Listen, once more, I mean it sincerely, it blesses, it does this pastor's heart good to be able to share with the church family the truth discovered by brothers and sisters within the church family. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for, though being well past school age, thank you for your willingness to do some homework when asked. From your church family this morning, Proverbs 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. That's the truth. Let everything else be shaken in your life, even in all the world. And yet, through it all, isn't it true? You know it to be true. Live your life in the fear of the Lord. Live right before Him. Rightly respond to Him in reverential awe of Him, His holiness, His righteousness, His power, His glory, His word, His commands, His demands. Live your life in the fear of the Lord, and you can have a confidence. You can have a courage. You can have a strength through it all. Do you understand? Listen, if all is right with Him, though everything around you be wrong, it'll all be right and well for you. That's the confidence. That's the courage. That's the strength that you can have living in the fear of the Lord. And it's more than that in Proverbs 14. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Living in the fear of the Lord, that's good for you, that's good for your children, that's good for your family as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 from another. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you're feeling weak this morning, under attack, don't have what it takes. If you're feeling weak, oh, my brother, my sister, listen, you have to hear the truth this morning. Listen, His grace is sufficient. His power is perfect. And for that, despite your weakness, you can be, you are in fact strong. This morning, John chapter 16, the truth for a few weeks now, the same truth, verse 5. I'm going to Him who sent me. because I've said these things, you're filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. How incredibly important the Holy Spirit is. How incredibly important, how incredibly necessary, how incredibly vital it must be for us to know him, to make room in our lives for him, to experience him in all of his fullness. So important, in fact, that Jesus says the truth, that it's good, it's for our good that Jesus go away, because then he can send the Holy Spirit to us. Interesting though, isn't it? Shameful, probably the better word. How despite what Jesus says, despite the truth, many Christians live in complete ignorance of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. As one author says, in today's Christianity, the Holy Spirit is the forgotten God. Many Christians live in complete disregard to the person of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. They give no place in their lives to him, not to his voice, not to his gifts, not to his power, not to him at all. Listen, the truth this morning, how debilitating, how dangerous it is and always will be for the church, for any and every believer, in fact, to do that. One writes this, if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. The degree to which this has happened is directly connected to the dissatisfaction many of us feel with and in the church. We understand that something very important is missing. I believe that this missing something is actually a missing someone, namely the Holy Spirit. Without him, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. The world is not moved by love or action that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different. And the world cannot help but notice. Do you understand? We do not ignore the Holy Spirit. He is no forgotten God. He must not be. He can't be, not at all. We don't ignore him. We don't neglect him. We don't discount him. Not him, not his work. No, instead we make him a priority to know him, a priority to make room in our lives for him, a priority to experience him in all his fullness, a priority. That's been the objective of our messages of late, this morning as well. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. In that then, by virtue of his personhood, he has a mind, he has thoughts. It should be our desire to know his mind, to know his thoughts. Even really best to say, it should be our desire to have his mind, to have his thoughts, to make his thoughts to be our very own. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. By virtue of his personhood, he speaks. And so then we ought to be tuned in to what the Spirit is saying. Consider it in this context for a moment. As a person, the Holy Spirit should be treated as a person, if we can say it that way. How you would think of a person, how you would relate and respond to a person, how you would treat a person, especially consider that in the context of a person you would esteem and respect. Certainly we would and should esteem and respect the Holy Spirit. He is God, after all. In that context, the person, how do we interact with the person? We speak to them. We listen to them as they speak to us. Think of it specifically in the context of relationships. This is what you do in relationship. You communicate with one another. In family, you talk and you listen to the persons within your family. In work, you talk and you listen to the persons at work. In church, you talk and you listen to the persons that are here. Listen, you and I, there ought to be a desire within us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is God after all, once again. Listen, there ought to be a desire within your heart to have a relationship with God the Father. There ought to be a desire within your heart to have a relationship with God the Son. And it's no different in regards then to the Holy Spirit. Listen, there ought to be a desire in your heart to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in that relationship then, there ought to be a recognition, the priority, the importance of communication. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, and because He is, by virtue of His personhood, He's speaking. Begs the question, doesn't it? But are you listening? Am I? Are we? Are you hearing what the Spirit of the Lord says to you? Can I just share this with you? I believe it. I even sense it as a message to share this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. To you, my brother. To you, my sister. He's speaking to you now through the message now. But understand, He'll be speaking to you throughout the day. Listen, He'll be speaking to you in your own time in the Word, in your own time of prayer, in your own time in worship. He'll be speaking to you at the workplace, in the grocery store, out and about. He'll be speaking to you, prompting you, giving you words of life and encouragement to speak to another. Again, though, you would understand, right? Still the question, but will you hear Him when He speaks? Do you recognize the person of the Holy Spirit and give Him place to speak to you? Do you recognize the person of the Holy Spirit and tune your ears then to what He's saying to you? The Holy Spirit is a divine person. By virtue of His personhood, He reveals, He teaches, He helps, He leads, He guides the way you should walk in. He leads and He guides so that you stay in step with Him in that way, so that you put to death the deeds of the flesh and the sinful nature. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. By virtue of His personhood, He's active. He works. He gives. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. To each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith, to another gifts of healing by the same, that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. Do you recognize, are you aware of the gift that the Spirit has given to you? Again, thank a person at a birthday, Christmas. A person hands you a gift. You receive it. You open it. You wear it. You use it. You appreciate it. You value it. I understand it's different in a sense. The Spirit is not flesh and blood. It's different, but it's not different. Listen, by virtue of His personhood, the Spirit meets with you and gives to you a gift. Maybe we start all the way at the beginning. Have you received that gift? Have you taken that gift from Him? Have you opened the gift? Have you appreciated? Have you valued the gift? Have you used that gift at all? Consider it from a negative perspective just before we move on. The alternative to that, that would be the right response to the Holy Spirit, to all that we've considered related to the personhood of the Holy Spirit. This, the answer being no. No, we don't have the mind of the Spirit. No, we've not concerned ourselves with the thoughts of the Spirit. Not what they are. Not that we would have and make them to be our own. No, we've not done that. No, we don't give the Spirit place to speak to us. No, we don't give the Spirit place to speak through us. No, we're not listening to the Spirit. No, we've not allowed the Spirit to reveal to us, to teach us, to help us, to lead us, to guide us. No, we've not let Him do His work in us. We've resisted that more than ever embracing that. No, we've not received the Spirit's gifts. We don't know it. We don't want to know it. We certainly don't want to make use of it. No. Do you understand? Do you recognize in that, in our everything, no to the Holy Spirit, that in that, in effect, we've denied the personhood of the Holy Spirit? We don't do that with God the Father. We don't do that with God the Son, but we do it with the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Do you understand? So in that, then, we've made Him less. We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't verbalize it that way. But the reality, by way of our response to Him, we've made Him less. It's really even worse than that. In our no to Him, we sin against Him. We insult Him. We anger Him. We grieve Him. And in that, we risk losing Him. So my brother, my sister, listen this morning, don't do that. Don't make Him less. Don't anger Him. Insult or grieve Him. Don't sin against Him. Don't put in jeopardy the Spirit in you, at work in you. Rather, instead, embrace Him, His divine personhood, and all that that would then mean, all that He would then desire to do in you and for you and through you. And can I speak to us just for a moment, New Life? Listen, don't do that. Don't make Him less. Don't anger Him. New Life, come on. Don't anger Him. Don't grieve Him. Don't sin against Him. New Life, we can't. We can't put in jeopardy the Spirit of the living God departing from this place. What have we if the Spirit of the Lord is not here among us? What hope is there for your lost son or daughter coming into this place if the Spirit of the Lord is not present among us? What good is our worship if the Spirit of the Lord is not present among us? What good is any ministry? What hope do our children have if the Spirit of the Lord is not here present among us? Do you understand? We dare not put in jeopardy that we lose Him. And so then we determine we will not ignore Him. We will not neglect Him. We will not make Him less. We won't anger or grieve Him. We won't sin against Him. We won't lose Him. The Holy Spirit is God. God in us. He's a divine person. We don't forget that. We make it to be our greatest concern with the utmost care. We treat Him as such. All of that really a review of last Sunday's message. For these few messages, the intent has been and is, even how I've entitled the messages, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The intent to share His person, who He is, and to share His work, what He does. Last Sunday, truth be told, we just ran out of time. And so this morning, really, it's the continuation of last Sunday. Last Sunday, His person, who He is, He's a divine person. This morning, the conclusion of that message, His work, what He does. Back to John 16 and verse 7. I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Here we go. Verse 8. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This word, convict, it's to expose, it's to make known. Maybe the best, more complete idea of the word, it's to convince. So the Spirit, what does He do? He convicts of sin. He exposes, He makes known the sin. He convinces of sin. Listen, it's true. We need the Spirit convicting us. Everyone in this room, no matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, no matter who you are, you need the convicting and the convincing, the exposing of sin work of the Spirit in your life. I don't say it to bring condemnation. I say it only because it's true. There is that the Spirit would convict each and every one of us this morning. Sin in your life, sin in mine, something you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, something you're not doing that you should be doing. You understand, both are sin, right? If you do something, you shouldn't sin. If you don't do something, you should. That's also sin. Maybe it's compromise, something you've allowed that you shouldn't have allowed, ground that you've given up, righteousness, holiness that you've forfeited. Maybe it's worldliness. You're not living right. You're not acting right. You're not talking right. More like the world than any child of God. There is that the Spirit would convict you of this morning. I don't know the conviction you need, only that you need the conviction. And we need the Spirit for that. Listen, would you let Him do that this morning? Without limit, without restraint, without argument, let Him convict you. Let Him expose, let Him make known, let Him convince you of that should not be in your life. One of the definitions, one of the thoughts related to sin, it's missing the mark. You're missing the mark. You're not hitting the target. You know, this is true. Our typical response, well, it's close enough. Well, that's not bad. You know, I only missed the target by a little bit. Look at them over there. They missed the target by way further than me. I'm not so bad. I'm doing all right, I think. You understand? We need the Spirit's conviction. We need the Spirit convicting and convincing us of the sin. Listen, Jesus is the standard. Looking like Him is the call of our Christianity. We need the Spirit exposing, convicting, and convincing us of all the ways, all the areas of our life where we don't look like Him, where we're not living in the holiness and the righteousness that He would have us to live in, where we're not being perfect even as Jesus is and was perfect. Before we move on, there's a different perspective here as well. John 16 and verse 8, this is what the Spirit does. He convicts, He convinces of sin. Verse 9 is the explanation. Look at it. Why the conviction of sin? Because men do not believe in Me. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He convinces people of sin so that they see that they're a sinner, and mostly so that they can see they need a Savior. One says this, the Holy Spirit will expose sin and unbelief in order to awaken a consciousness of guilt and need for forgiveness. And with that exposed and awakened in us, the Spirit's work to turn us to Jesus, who would forgive the sin, who would take away the guilt, and be for us our Savior. Do you understand? You were never knowing you were a sinner. You were never turning to Jesus to be your Savior, except that the Spirit was at work in you, convicting you of sin. Can I encourage you? Can I remind you? This is what your lost husband, this is what your lost wife, this is what your lost son, your lost daughter, your lost grandchild, brother, sister, niece, nephew. This is what your friend, this is what your neighbor, this is what your colleague at work, this is what they need. They need Him. They need the Holy Spirit to be at work in them. You can tell them they're a sinner needing a Savior, and rightly, lovingly, you should, but only the Spirit can convince them of that. Do you understand? When you talk to them, when you witness to them, you don't need to worry about having all the right words. You don't need to find the creative and genius argument. You don't need to have all the answers. You need the Spirit's anointing and the Spirit's power on and in you, because no matter your words, no matter your argument, no matter your answers, it's Him that will convince them they're a sinner and they need Jesus to be their Savior. Verse 8, still more, He convicts, He exposes, He makes known, He convinces of righteousness. I believe this is true, sort of a sign of the times in which we live, the last of the last days in which we're living. Ours is a very gray and only getting more and more gray kind of world. What's right? What's wrong? What matters? What doesn't? Isn't that the question? Even in the church, in our own lives, is this right? Is that wrong? That right? That wrong? We hardly know anymore. Does this matter? Is this important? Or not really? We're not sure. Listen, you have to hear me this morning. Someone argued that the work of the Spirit was reserved for the New Testament church. That because of the Word and what the Spirit began and did in them, he's not needed today. I say no. No way. To navigate life out there, life that is and is only going to get more and more confusing, and more chaotic, and more gray. What's right, what's wrong, who knows? What matters, what doesn't, who knows? Listen, the Holy Spirit is needed now more than ever before, because now more than ever before, listen to me, church, we need His convicting and convincing of what's right, of what's righteousness. Listen, the world doesn't need any more gray people out there. They need the light and the life coming to them. They need one that will stand on the authority of God's Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit and declare, I know what's right because I know what God's Word says. I'm living in the right because the Spirit empowers me to do that. This is what the world needs. The world certainly doesn't need a church that doesn't know what's right or what's wrong, what matters or what doesn't. We need His convicting and convincing work at work in us. He revealed to us what's right. He'll reveal to us the righteousness. He'll show us. He'll convince us of that. Spur us on in that. John 14 and verse 26, we read this. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. How can He teach you all things except that He knows all things? He does. He knows everything about everything. He knows the answer to every question. He knows all Jesus has said and all Jesus wants to say to you. And He, that being the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you, with you, in you, to teach you all those things, to remind you of all the Jesus things, and to convince you then of the right things. If you want to know anything about anything, He knows. So do you understand what's right, what's wrong, what matters, what doesn't? In this gray, confusing, chaotic world, He knows. He reveals it to us, convinces and convicts us of the right and the righteousness. Never need be in doubt. Never need be in question. Not as we let Him do His work in us. Can I just share it because it might apply to many in the room? Our problem, we let too much of the world in and too little of the Holy Spirit. If only we would determine to do better, to set a guard at the gateway of our heart and our life, our mind, and let only that which is of the Spirit in, less of the world. I believe that there would be, in fact, no confusion at all. The Spirit would make abundantly clear, this is right, that's wrong. Conversation can be done now. This matters, that doesn't. Conversation can be finished. Do you understand how we need the Spirit's work today? How you and I need the Spirit's work today? Listen, don't miss that. How you and I need the Spirit's work today. Do you understand? How our children need the Spirit's work in their lives today. You see it as even as I do. You're old enough to have differentiated. That's not always how it was. And so you're able to distinguish. Do you understand? Our kids, all they've ever known, a gray world that doesn't know what's right, doesn't know what's wrong. In fact, a world that calls everything right as long as it pleases you or seems to be good for you. You do whatever you want. You be whoever you want. You love whoever you want. This is all good and good for you. Do you understand? Listen, can I just encourage you? Can I invite you to just take a look for a moment at the future of the church? Can I invite you to be very, very much afraid the future of a church where the Spirit of the Lord is neglected and His work is put on a back shelf, thinking we don't need His convicting and convincing work. The church of that future is trouble. Can I change things? Can I invite you to take a look at a church of the future with a generation today that says, I don't care about culture. I don't care what culture tries to shove down my throat. I have the Spirit of the living God living inside me, convicting and convincing me of what is right and what is righteousness. Listen, my friends, that church is in good hands. Do you understand how we need the work of the Spirit in us? In Romans 8, we read this: in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. No matter the gray, no matter the confusing, no matter the chaotic, God's will for you living right and in righteousness is clear. Scripture makes it clear, and it's the Spirit that reveals and prays into existence that will for your life. Maybe best to say it this way: God's will for your life, that is the right, that is the righteousness that you need to live in. It's the Spirit that will convict you of that. It's the Spirit that will convince you of that, so that you live in that. God's will for you. Just the truth this morning. Maybe some in the room, we're not doing right. We're not making right decisions. We're not doing what God would have us to do, what God wants us to do. Some of us have bought into the gray and brought it into our spirituality, perhaps, into our own walk with Jesus. We're not living in righteousness. You need to hear then this morning the convicting and convincing work of the Spirit. You need the reminder, the things that Jesus said. You need the revelation of God's will, and it's the Spirit that will do that work in you. Again, there's a different perspective as well. Verse 8, it's what He does. He convicts, He exposes, He makes known, He convinces of righteousness. Verse 10, it's the explanation. Look at it: because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. The question sort of arises, what does that have to do with righteousness? What is the Holy Spirit convicting me of what's right and righteous in my life, for my life? What does that have to do with Jesus going to the Father? Jesus has gone to Him, sits at His right hand, and what does He do there? He intercedes for you and for me. He's our advocate. He speaks up for us. He speaks up on our behalf. The devil condemns and accuses. He is the accuser of the brethren, after all. Listen, my brother, he's your accuser. Listen, my sister, he's your accuser. Jesus speaks up for us when He accuses. Father, they're with me. Father, they belong to us. What does the Father do in response to that? What does the Father do by way of what Jesus has done for us? He accepts us, and He clothes us with the righteousness of Jesus. It's unbelievable. So what does the Spirit do? He convinces you that you're a sinner needing a Savior, but when you turn to the Savior, the Spirit convinces you that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you, and that in Him and because of Him, you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, His Son, and counted as righteous then in the eyes of a holy, holy, holy God. The Spirit convicts and convinces you that you are accepted then by Him. God the Father accepts you, my brother, accepts you, my sister. Do you understand? Not only so you know the right to do and the righteousness to live in, but as well so that you know and are convinced of this: Jesus at the right hand of the Father advocating for you. Response to His Son, the Father clothing you in His righteousness. For that, because of that, oh, how we need the work of the Spirit to be at work in us. How we need the convicting and convincing work of the Spirit. If you're not convinced this morning, you need His work in you. Listen, my brother, my sister, have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you made Him to be your Lord and Savior? Are you living for Him? Yes, yes, and yes. Then you need to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to you. You need the Spirit of the Lord at work in you, convicting and convincing you that you belong to God, that He is your Father and you are His child. Let Him do His work in you. Let Him do that convicting and convincing word. Let Him do without limit, without restraint, so that without limit, without restraint, you can live in the identity that you have in Him. In Him, listen now, you are not you because of you. You are you because of what He's done for you. You are accepted by God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Let the Spirit convince and convict you of that. Verse 8, once more, the Holy Spirit convicts, He exposes, He makes known, He convinces of judgment. One day we're going to stand before the Lord and have to give an account. The Holy Spirit convinces you of that. About to say that, about to do that, respond like that, treat them like that, you might hear His voice. You know, just a reminder, there's coming a day of judgment. Just a reminder, one day you're going to have to give an account. If you do that, maybe better than not to do that. One says this, the Holy Spirit is not just for speaking in tongues. He also makes you shut up, apologize, sit down, and examine yourselves. That's because judgment is coming. When you hear His voice, when you sense His prompting that maybe you shouldn't, maybe you ought not to say that, maybe you ought not to do that, He's doing His work. He's convicting you. He's convincing you of judgment. Listen to Him. For the believer, really, judgment for us is more related to reward. In other words, a different perspective is about the things that we would do here on earth. Things that are deemed worthy and result then in eternal rewards in heaven. In that sense, consider it this way, the Spirit convicting and convincing you that the day of judgment, the day for reward, is coming. Do you understand the difference? You may hear His voice then, neglecting the opportunity to help the poor. You might not want to do that. You might not want to ignore them. The opportunity for ministry to make an investment, because you have other plans, you might want to cancel the other plans and not cancel that. You might hear Him, you know, just a reminder, judgment day is coming, reward day is coming. Your other plans, helping the poor. Your other plans, ministry within the church. Your other plans, sharing your faith, witnessing to the lost. Which one results in eternal rewards? Maybe you ought to do that one. Storing up for yourselves treasure here instead of there. You might hear Him. You know, one of those will get you stuff here. Stuff that will rust away. The moth will eat away. The thief will take away. There's something else, though. There's a treasure you can have. There's a treasure you can have for yourself. Store up for yourself that will result in eternal reward in heaven. So when you sense His prompting to do something, to help, to minister, to encourage, to visit, to reach out, to share your faith, to give, to be involved, He's doing His work. He's convicting and convincing you of judgment. A coming day when the things that you've done will pass through the fire, and the wood and the hay and the straw, stubble stuff, will be burned up. The Spirit's convicting work then in you, so that on that day it's not all burned up for you, but rather instead there's the gold and precious stone stuff that makes it through the fire, that endures, that's rewarded. He's doing His work. He's convicting and convincing you of judgment. Listen, He's ensuring for you reward on that day. Listen to Him. I always love this perspective related to that. The Bible tells us this, you know this. What are we going to do with the crowns, with the rewards that we're given? We're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful moment that's going to be. But do you understand the horror of that moment? If all you have is the wood, hay, and stubble stuff, it all gets burned up and you have nothing. to lay at the feet of Jesus. Don't misunderstand. Do you get heaven for all eternity? You surely do. But you have nothing to lay at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine? The throngs of heaven, and here they come. At the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. And there you stand. I've got nothing. It was all wood, hay, and stubble stuff. Do you understand this morning? My brother, my sister, listen. When the Spirit convicts and convinces you of judgment, listen to Him. So that on that glorious day, you might have something to give to Him. Again, there's a different perspective. What does He do? He convicts and convinces of judgment. Verse 11 is the explanation. Look at it. Because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Again, the question, what does that have to do with the coming day of judgment for us? Simply put, though it's true the Spirit would work to prepare us for eternity, the context of John 16 is really the Spirit convinces us of Satan's judgment. He's the prince of this world. He's the one who stands condemned. Really then, the great reminder, listen, my brother, my sister, the Spirit convinces us of Satan's defeat at the cross. Do you understand why you need the Spirit's work? Some of you think the devil's not been defeated. Some of you think the devil's super strong and powerful, make you do what you don't want to do, have his way when you don't want him to have his way. Listen, you, my brother, you, my sister, need the convicting and the convincing work of the Spirit to remind you that Satan was defeated at the cross. I like the illustration. He comes to rob from you. Like a convenience store thief, all masked up and hooded up and looking so mean and rough, with their gun hidden in their pocket pointed at you. Listen, but the devil only to discover all he's got is his two fingers. One describes it this way, all he's got is a water gun to point at you. He's been defeated. Listen, I ask you, my brother, my sister, why so intimidated by the devil? Why so, the devil this and the devil that? Why not believing in the Spirit's work, the convicting and the convincing work? The devil was defeated at the cross of Calvary. He has no hold over you. He has no power over you. He has no control over you. Colossians chapter 2, God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority with the cross. He won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. One says Satan's doom is sealed. He may be active still, but he sails a sinking ship and rules a ruined domain. My brother, my sister, listen, you have the victory. You can overcome sin, Satan in this world, because in Jesus, because of his work at the cross, the prince of this air stands condemned. The devil is defeated, and you are more than a conqueror. I'll tell you that this morning. Listen, you understand. But it's the work of the Spirit you need to convince you of that. Let Him do then His work in you today. Let Him convince and convict you of that. When He comes, that's the Spirit. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's His work. He convinces you you're a sinner needing a Savior. When you turn to the Savior, He convinces you that you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And still more, He convinces you then that you have victory over the enemy, because in Jesus, the enemy's been defeated and now stands condemned. I'm going to Him who sent me. You're filled with grief, but I tell you, it's good that I'm going away, because unless I go, the Counselor will not come. That's the truth. Hear it, believe it, now live in it. Welcome the Spirit. His divine person, His supernatural work, make room for Him. Make Him to be your passionate pursuit. Make yourself to be sensitive to what He's speaking, what He's wanting to do in you. Let Him have His way in you. Without restraint, without limit, wait on Him, wait for Him, stay in step with Him. You hear the truth this morning, you believe it, now live in it. Listen, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I finish. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The message of Ephesians, you're going to be filled with something. There's going to be that thing or that someone in control of you. The message of Ephesians, let it be the Holy Spirit. My brother, my sister, be filled with Him. That is the Lord's will for your life, after all, that you would be filled and keep on being filled. The message of Ephesians, let that filling of the Spirit be evident in you. One says this, Paul contrasted getting drunk with wine, which produces a temporary high, to being filled with the Spirit, which produces lasting joy. The focus of Paul's words here is not so much the prohibition against drunkenness, for the believers probably already understood that, but his urging that they continually be filled by and live in the Spirit. When a person is drunk, everyone can tell. His or her actions make it obvious. In like manner, our lives should be so completely under the Spirit's control that our actions and our words show beyond a doubt that we are filled with the presence of God's Holy Spirit. That, my brother, that, my sister, is how we live in the truth. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to receive your word. We're reminded again, even the same from last Sunday, we're reminded the divine personhood of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, I pray, to respond rightly to that. Help us to have the mind of the Spirit. Help us to hear the voice of the Spirit. Help us to always be led by the Spirit, guided, directed by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal things to us. Reveal things to your people. I pray it from God's word, Lord. I pray it even in Jesus' name, by way of dreams and visions. Reveal things to your people by way of your Spirit. Do your work in us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Give to this people the gifts of the Spirit. Let the gifts of the Spirit be valued in this place. Let the gifts of the Spirit be appreciated in this place. Let every single one of us know what it is to take hold of the gift of the Spirit. Open it wide. Use it abundantly, I pray. Help us to respond rightly. The divine person, Holy Spirit, that you are. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to do your work in this place this morning. Just for a moment, I know the hour is late. Would you just bow your head this moment? Have a moment with the Holy Spirit that he might speak to you. Come on, let him do his work in you. Would you do that this morning? Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Do some convicting and convincing in me. Listen, my brother, my sister, is the Spirit convicting and convincing you? Some sin? Some compromise? Some worldliness? Oh, please, my brother, listen to him. Listen to him. Invite him. Like the psalmist, we make it to be our prayer. Search me, oh God. Search me, oh God. Holy Spirit, do your work among us. How about it, my brother, my sister? Do you need the convincing this morning that you belong to Jesus? Let the Spirit do his work. Let him remind you you're a child of God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Maybe some of you beat up this morning in your faith. Let him remind you what Jesus has done for you. It's enough, my brother. It's enough, my sister, what Jesus has done. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Let him remind you judgment is coming. Listen, I don't know how else to say it. My brother, my sister, live better, do better. Judgment day's coming. Live for a day when you will cast at the feet of Jesus every eternal reward you've gained. Live more, live better for that day. Store up for yourselves more and better treasures in heaven. Set your mind, set your heart on heavenly things, not on things of this earth. Be reminded today the victory that's yours. Let the Spirit do his work, my brother. Let the Spirit do his work, my sister. Just for a minute. I'll pray the blessing over you in just a minute. We'll give place for the Spirit to do his work in this room before we go. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome in me. In my life, in this place. Oh, come do your work. Come do your work. You're welcome here, Holy Spirit. Come on, let them know this. Not just here, but as we leave here. You're welcome in this life. You're welcome in that car. Come on, church. Jesus, would you help us that your Holy Spirit be welcome in our homes? Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our homes. You're welcome in my work. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. When I'm walking the grocery store aisle, you're welcome, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. You're welcome. Lord, help us to live our lives always welcoming the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? I declare over you the blessing of the Lord. Listen now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace in Jesus' name. Would you receive that this morning? Would you say amen, amen, and amen? God bless you this morning. Have a wonderful Sunday.